word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And that phrase, a second time, is loaded, isn't it? It means a lot of things. It means, number one, there was a first time. And it means, number two, there needed to be a second time. And we've all been in these situations, and sometimes we assume that God is not in the act like us. But we've been in a situation where you have to ask somebody to do something a second time. And it's usually because they did not do it the first time. You know, clean your room, take out the trash, balance the checkbook. These are not things we ever ask only one time. Because often when we ask them, we are greeted with vacant stares or with just spaced out looks. Maybe people respond by just going and acting as though they didn't hear what we asked the first time. But Jonah, just like many requests that are made of us and many requests we make of other people, one time was not enough. And it's not that one time wasn't enough because Jonah was thinking about something else when he was asked. It isn't just because Jonah felt like he had something better to do. It's clear from the story of Jonah when we get into it this morning, when he's asked a second time, that something else intervened. And the thing that intervened was that Jonah was so committed to not doing what God asked him to do, he decided to get in a boat and to go the exact opposite direction of the city of Nineveh. And from where Jonah lived, if you wanted to go the opposite direction of Nineveh, Nineveh was a travel on land. You got to get on a boat if you want to go the other way. And he did. So Jonah gets the word the first time. He doesn't just ignore it. It's not just like he wasn't listening. It's not like he got a phone call and forgot what he was asked to do. He got asked, and he actively resisted. He went to a port, and he gets on a boat that gets into a storm now. And this storm that comes upon the boat is driving everybody on the boat crazy, except for Jonah. And that's because Jonah is taking a nap while the boat is about to be just blown into a million bits on the sea. And so the people, the sailors that are manning this boat, they go and they throw everything off. And they finally find Jonah, probably in the process of throwing over the cargo. They find him down there sleeping somewhere behind bags of grain. And they say, how can you be sleeping? We are all about to die. They say, we know that the storm is not natural. Somebody on this boat has done something bad, and that's why we are about to sink. And Jonah said, that's interesting. And he wakes up. But he does not fess up, because the story then tells us next, they cannot figure out who has caused this calamity. And so they go and they cast lots. And guess what? Every time they cast a lot to see, they roll the dice to see who's responsible for the storm, it comes up Jonah. So Jonah finally says, oh yes, I serve the God who's the maker of heaven and earth, of the sea and the dry land, and he asked me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. And they said, are we going to die because you wouldn't do what God asked you to do? He said, no, why don't you just throw me into the sea? I'm sure if you throw me into the sea, I'll just sink to the bottom of the ocean. I'll die, but you guys will be fine. You can save your own lives. And they said, no, we're not really ready to do that, especially if you are a prophet of the God of the heavens and the earth who made the land the sea. And so they try everything else. In fact, they say that they row harder so that they can get to the shore. And they find the more that they row, the further from shore they actually get. That the storm, the text tells us, has intensified. And so finally they relent. But they only relent after praying to God, Jonah's God, for forgiveness before they throw him overboard. And when they pray for forgiveness, they throw Jonah overboard. The sea gets calm. The storm ceases. And now they go and have a worship service, the text tells us. And I don't know about offering sacrifices. You don't normally have fire on boats, but these guys did. And they give thanks that they've been saved after they had prayed for repentance for the thing that Jonah had caused them to do. And then If you paid attention at all in Sunday school or even popular culture, you know that God provides a great fish that comes and scoops Jonah up so that he does not die. And Jonah stays in the belly of that fish for 3 days, gets spewed up on dry land, and evidently he forgot about what had happened on the boat and went back to playing his Xbox and the thing that God had asked him to do in the first place. And this is where we pick the story up. God comes to Jonah a second time and says, "Remember, I asked you to do something." I think I went through that story because I want to be really clear on something that I think often gets wrong with this tale this morning. And it's often something I think that gets wrong when we think about the saving nature of God. Because this story is not about God's gracious goodwill to Jonah in saving him. If it was just about that, Jonah would have got the word, he'd have done the wrong thing, I did a bad thing, God. God would have saved him with a fish and he'd have gone back and said, "Woof, I've been forgiven." Well, that's not what God does. God saves Jonah for a very specific reason in this story. And it has nothing to do with God's gracious goodwill towards him. It has to do with the fact that Jonah didn't do what God asked him to do in the first place. He sends a great fish to get him because Jonah is resisting. And God is going to go to the greatest extreme in the story to make sure that his message gets to the people of Nineveh. And he's not going to let somebody else do it. I mean, we have in our mind that when Jonah got spewed out of this whale, he hit the ground running with extra juice towards Nineveh and just kept going. But he didn't. He got saved and he just sat back down. And God didn't save him to forgive him. God saved him because he had more work for him to do. The work that he had asked him to do in the first place. Jonah being saved isn't about getting a second chance. It's about unfinished business. Now, when you read the story this way, that's very different. It's very different than just thinking, I can get in trouble for all the wrong choices I've made and God might save me. And that happens. The person of Jesus shows us that there is grace in this world. But there are times when the messes that we make in our own lives, the messes that we've made because we are resisting the clear call of God to take some message that God has given us to people we don't want to take it to, there are times when God is going to say, "You're not going to get out of it so easily as getting on a boat and drowning yourself in the sea. There is nowhere you can hide from the good news of God." Now, I know this is a personal message for lots of folks. There are people here this morning, there are people I've known in my whole life, where you often wonder, what is it I've been saved to do? And often it's about trying to figure out what that next thing is, but I sometimes think the place to start in that moment is to say, what was I being asked to do before, but I just would not get on board with it? And I have to tell you, quite frankly, as I've meditated on this story for the past 3 or 4 weeks, I wonder if that is what this parish is about. That the salvation that you feel isn't just because God wanted to be nice to you, but because God had something else in store that you were subverting by taking a nap, by getting on a boat, by not admitting, by pointing fingers. And I don't know, because I wasn't here for that part of the life of this parish. And I think probably when I got here, you were in the belly of the whale. And I know for sure many of you feel as though you've been spewed up and the sunshine is now on your face and you feel a lot better. But that is not the moment just to say wow, I'm saved. Let me go back to doing what I was doing before. That's the moment when you sit down and say, what is my unfinished business with God? What is that thing that I resisted that put me on that trip the wrong direction? Right into the teeth of a storm and then to the belly of a whale. That's a much different question to ask. Now, there is good news in this too. This isn't just about God being some despot who wants to get God's way by making you do it at all costs. It is also that God does not give up on the prophets he has appointed to take his word. God could have certainly gotten somebody else other than Jonah to go to Nineveh. But there was some purpose in God's mind for making it Jonah and not letting him off the hook. The grace in the story comes from the fact that one can resist what God asks, and God is going to go to the farthest extremes to allow you to participate and perform what God has asked you to do in God's kingdom. And that, I think, is uplifting. It's enlivening. It is the thing that gives us the juice to go and to respond to what God asks us to do the first time. And it's up to us to recognize God's persistence in saving us. Sometimes to show grace in something we do not deserve, but also sometimes because we resist what God has asked. And that's the work that is up to us to do. Recognize those words that come to ourselves, to our parish, maybe one time, maybe two times, maybe three times. And God has saved each and every one of us, not just for tranquility and peace and for sunshine on our faces, but for work. And if we've been spit out of that whale, it is time for us to get to work. Amen.